Welcome to the More Life Church podcast. We are always encouraged to know that God is working through this ministry to touch lives. So if you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know and send us an email to amen@morelifechurch.com. Now enjoy today's message.
All right. Well, good morning. Welcome, everybody, to week one of our message series, White Christmas. Would you do me a favor and help me welcome everybody watching online? Make some noise. Say hello to your church family. Hey, guys. Thank you for watching. Glad y'all are participating with us. And so before I get into the content of today's message, I just want to kind of get us all up to speed on some things. December has some really exciting and fun things going. And I want to make sure that I kind of assist us in doing the hard work of communication. And Jeremiah did a good job of helping us with that. But let me just walk you through a couple things and set up this weekend's service and the content for today. As you heard in the announcements, we are doing 5 Christmas Eve services, and there's times where those can be, you can see where those are. They're plastered all over the building. They're online. But I want to focus on two things that I'm going to ask you to help me in, and that is in invites and random acts of kindness. And we've done something to help you with both of these items kind of all in one shot. We've created these invites cards that have our information on it and our service times for the Christmas Eve service. I'm going to ask everybody to grab at least one. It'll serve as a good reminder for you in case you're trying to figure out which service you want to participate in, and you can see all the times there. But also, I'm asking, when you're going through this Christmas season, as you do kind of a random act of kindness, I'm asking you to use one of these cards and attach one of these cards to that kindness. Several weeks ago, when I introduced this idea to you over the month of December to do random acts of kindness, I said, start with your household. Do something in your household to one of your family members today. And for some of the folks who had siblings that you still live together, I recommended that maybe you clean their room or make their bed or fold their laundry. And everybody snickered at that and thought, yeah, no way. And so, whatever, fold your own laundry, I don't know, do something. But I did a random act of kindness that morning. I went home and I did the dishes. I emptied the dishwasher and then reloaded the dishwasher and kind of pre-scrubbed them. And that was kind of my random act. And it had, don't judge me, but it had been years since I had done dishes in our house. And I wanted everyone to know that I had done them. I wanted credit. And so I told everybody, I did the dishes. This was my random act. And my wife said, well, Josh, are you really supposed to be telling us that you did it? And I said, it's a random act of kindness, not an anonymous act of kindness. And so the point that I'm making is I want to ask you to use one of these cards because I want you to connect that random act back to God. And so let's give him the credit for it. I heard a story about someone in our church family that they went to a local coffee shop. I think they went to River Road, and they loaded up a gift card and they gave it to you know, the barista, the person at the register there, and said, on every coffee that this will buy, I want it to buy the next however many coffees it'll buy. And they loaded it up with a dollar amount. And they said, the next several people that come in, just swipe this card and say someone was generous and paid on their behalf. I thought, that's a really brilliant idea. They waited like about a week or so, and they went back in to say, you know, I think they were going to maybe reload the card, and they just wanted to check up on, you know, the progress. And they went in and they said, hey, and they remembered the individual, and they said, tell me how much is left on the card. And they swiped it, and they said, well, it's the original amount that you put on it. And they were a little bit disappointed. They're like, well, you know, I intended for every coffee to be purchased after I loaded it up. And they said, well, let's check on it. And they checked, and they came back, and here's what they said. Every time that they ran to the limit of the card, the last person in line reloaded the card back up to its full capacity. And so they don't know how many times, it was like maybe half a dozen or times or so where somebody just reloaded it. And the point is, you just never know where generosity will travel. And so when you're thinking about it, do something random. If you buy somebody's meal, give them this card and tell them to pass it on and let them know that someone was thinking of them. So random acts and invites are an awesome way to just really get into the spirit of this season. The last Sunday of the month is our Vision Builders Sunday. You don't want to miss that. I'm gonna just talk about what I see for 2018 and for us as a church. It'd be an awesome time to worship in. So I want to give you a real brief update, and then I'm going to get into the message today. Last weekend was Legacy Sunday, and we didn't really focus on just giving money. We said we were just giving hope. And we had these initiatives that we were working on. The Christmas giving, which I already told you about, were able to do triple the number of families this year that we were able to serve last year in our Christmas giving. So that's super, super exciting. Our bus initiative, many of you know that we were given, I think, like a 30 or 35 passenger bus. And in 2018, we're going to start running that and bringing folks to church during our, we're going to start with our noon service. Someone gave us that. But I'm also pleased to announce that after last weekend, we were able to allocate all of the resources necessary to fund the entire bus initiative for all of 2018. So everything for the bus initiative is funded for 2018. That's everything from regular mechanical checkups to inspections to tags to everything that we need. So that's already fully funded. And we're making progress on the ministry growth and on the Building Life expansion project. So if you haven't got clear on maybe what you want to do, there's still time, and you can still give to that legacy offering if you'd like to. And I just really appreciate everyone's generosity. This morning, though, what I really want to talk to you about, it's really kept me up a couple times this week at night, which is unusual for me because I usually sleep really, really, really well. But today I want to talk to you about the subject of unforgiveness and dealing with it through forgiveness. And forgiveness, guys, is like a very central part of the gospel. And today should serve as a reminder of that. Let me illustrate it as I jump into it this way. How many of you? I was scrolling through Netflix, and I was looking for something to watch, some holiday deal. And as I was scrolling through this movie was in one of the lines there. It was Angry Birds the movie. How many of you have seen that? How many, let me see your hands. How many of you know what Angry Birds is? Okay, how many of you have no idea what Angry Birds is? Ask your grandchildren, they'll tell you. No, I'm just kidding. Angry Birds is this game that was really wild and wildly popular a few years ago, where there are these two different roles, two different character types. There's the pigs and there's the birds, and the birds are angry birds because the pigs had stolen the birds' eggs. And so what the birds do is they go on a revenge spree, and they launch themselves at the pigs to take out the pigs. But in doing so, they really kill themselves, harm themselves in the process. And I thought, what an ironic kind of analogy for life and in for unforgiveness, because really unforgiveness is that way. We damage ourselves when we hold that stuff in to our hearts, and it really messes us up. And so I want us to look at this subject, and I know I know that this is going to be difficult for some of you, because I'm going to ask some of you today to make a decision to forgive, to let go someone that you really don't think deserves it, that you don't think you can. And so, but I want us to look at a verse of scripture in Isaiah. And watch this verse in Isaiah. It says this: come now, let's settle this. I love that. Let's settle it. Let's settle this once and for all. Don't let another day go by. Don't let another Christmas go on with all this stuff and junk in your heart. Let's settle it, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, even though it's a tough thing to do, he says, I will make them as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, I will make them as white as wool. Watch this. If you will only, everybody say this next word out loud, if you will only obey. He says, if you only obey me. So there's a part in that we have to play. And so for this weekend, I want us to go on a journey together. I want you to imagine that we're sitting in your living room, and maybe you got a fireplace, and that fireplace is going, and we got a cup of hot coffee or hot chocolate or something like that. I don't want to preach at you. I just want to talk to you. I want to have a conversation. I've entitled today's message, Advice from a Friend. And that's really the posture and the tone that I'm coming to you with. I just want us to have a candid conversation about something that, quite honestly, is not that easy. One person described unforgiveness this way. Unforgiveness is like setting yourself on fire and expecting the other person to die of smoke inhalation. Doesn't work. And it messes us up. It damages us. It hurts us, really, in the process. And I just really believe that probably a high percentage of us deal with this on a regular basis, especially this time of year. And I think it's difficult for a few reasons. And I want to expose the reasons why, because when I say forgiveness, and I were to come to you in a tone and just say, just forgive them, just get over it, and that sort of thing, you might think, Joshua, you're living in fantasy land, Brother Bean. This is a real thing for me. And this section in your notes says just dreaming. And what I want you to see is that we're not just dreaming, but there are reasons why we don't forgive. Okay, I'm going to give you three of those. Then I'm going to give you three ways that we learn to walk through the forgiveness, okay? And so the first reason why we don't forgive, if you're taking notes, this is the time where you jump in. We don't forgive because we have a wrong understanding of forgiveness. We don't understand it clearly. And let me give you a couple points to kind of finish this thought of we have a wrong understanding of unforgiveness. Listen, guys, listen to me very carefully. Forgiveness does not mean we minimize the seriousness of the offense. It's real. It hurts. It's negatively affected us. Now, some of us think, well, until I get to the place where it's not a big deal, where I don't feel like it's a big deal, then I can't forgive. But what you have to understand is forgiveness is not connected to you diminishing the seriousness of what happened to you. Because what happened to you was significant, and it matters, and it hurt. Second, unforgiveness is not reconciliation. You've got to understand this, because some people in this whole kind of dreaming in color kind of mode think, well, in order to forgive, then everything's just got to be peaches and cream in that relationship, and everything's got to be okay before I can forgive them. Can I tell you something? There are some instances that I know of where a person does need to forgive, but I would not recommend that they reconcile, because that relationship was toxic and harmful. But just because the relationship was harmful does not mean we shouldn't forgive and let those individuals go in our hearts. Are you with me? And thirdly, it's not forgetting what happened. See, if you think that I have to minimize the seriousness, I have to reconcile, and I have to forget, can I tell you something? If this is how you view forgiveness, if you think you have to make it small, you have to reconcile, and you have to forget before you forgive, can I tell you something? You'll never forgive. You never will do it. Someone says, well, that's awful negative. That's not very positive. Okay, I'll be positive. I'm positive. You'll never forgive if you think this is what forgiveness means. Now, I've struggled with this, and I know we're online, and I've really struggled with this, but I feel like in my heart, this is the right thing to do. Not for me. And I'm going to tell you, I apologize to my family right up front, because they don't even know this. I've never shared this ever in the history ever in my life. My wife is about to find something out about me that she doesn't know. And this is hard, okay? And I'm being very serious. So I know sometimes I set you up and I make a joke. I'm not joking about this, okay? When I was a kid, when I was a small boy, I was sexually assaulted. Someone that I knew sexually molested me. And I want you to understand that I've forgiven and I've let that person go. But I didn't do it because I minimized the seriousness of the offense. I didn't do that because I was going to reconcile with them. I wasn't going to and am not going to. I didn't do it because I've forgotten. I still have vivid memories of that. But if I'm stuck with the wrong understanding, I can never get to forgiveness, and neither can you. And I so want you to get to that place. And I bet you if we were to have a conversation, there would be many of you who would say, something like that happened to me by someone I trusted, by someone I respected, someone hurt me, someone did something to me. Listen, my heart goes out to you. And forgiveness does not mean these things. And I want to influence you to take a step in the right direction, because I can tell you from personal experience, when you let that person and let that thing go, it's not a cliche. It is you who goes free. It is your heart that is liberated. It is God's strength that is made perfect in my weakness. That's one reason why we don't forgive. The second one is this: we don't think it's fair. Can I tell you from firsthand experience? I don't think it's fair that God asks me to forgive people who wrong me. But listen to me very carefully. We do not want to play the fair game with God. We don't want to play the fair game, because listen, if we were to get what's fair from God, what's fair is for me to pay for all eternity for the price of my sin. See, I don't get what's fair. You don't get what's fair. I get God's grace, and my assignment is to not measure it by what's fair, but to measure it by what's just. Watch this verse. There's a lot of verses here. And I know. And online, I know this too. I'm up against a tremendous momentum of hurt and pain in some of y'all's lives. And I'm gonna let y'all off the hook and let you breathe easy. Because about 70 or 80% of us in this room right now are dealing with forgiveness issues. We're in a tug of war over, are we gonna do it? Or aren't we? Am I going to let that go? Or am I going to stay holding on to it? See, you're not alone in this room. You're not alone. We're all dealing with this. But watch this conversation and watch how it goes. Then Peter, I love the Apostle Peter. He's like the boisterous, kind of strong personality. You always know what he's thinking. Watch what he says. He says, then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? I love Peter's language, because Peter's kind of saying, Jesus, what's the bare minimum that I've got to do in order to make you happy? Could you see he's saying, like, what's the bare minimum? And then he answers this question by something that I think he thinks self-glorifies. He's like, up to seven times? Like, I think he's like thinking Jesus is going to be impressed and say, wow, Peter, you really forgive somebody seven times? And he goes off, he says, up to seven times. And Jesus answered and says, I tell you, not seven, but 77 times. One translation says 70 times seven. I think that's 490. And in my lightning quick mind with math, that's about forgiving every 3 minutes for the time that you're awake in a day. So Jesus is saying, you forgive and you forgive and you forgive until there's nothing else to forgive for. And then in classic Jesus style, he tells this story. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Let me pause right there. Many translations say 10,000 talents of gold. So I did the math for you. And this is the modern day equivalent. 10,000 talents is the modern day equivalent, ready, of 13.6 billion with a B, $13.6 billion. How many would you agree, $13.6 billion, that's a lot of debt. How many of that makes you feel better about your debt position right now? That's a lot of money, right? $13.6 billion? If you don't think that's a lot of money, did I mention we're doing a legacy offering? I want to talk to you right after the service if you don't think that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. And since he was not able to pay it, there's no way he can pay that back. The master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. And at this, the servant who owed $13.6 billion fell on his knees before this man. And he says, be patient with me. He begged, and I will pay back everything. He wasn't going to. No way he could. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt of $13.6 billion, and let him go. That's amazing. But when the servant went, the one that had been forgiven of $13.6 billion, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. Other translations say 100 denarii, which is the equivalent of 4 months' salary. Watch this. So he's just been forgiven of $13.6 billion, and he finds a guy who owes him 20 grand, 15 grand, somewhere in that range, depending on which stat you look at for the modern day salary. Someone owes him, let's just say 20 grand, round it up to 20 grand. Some guy who owes him 20 grand, he grabbed him and began to choke him. Look. He was just forgiven of $13.6 billion, and this guy owes him 20 grand, and he starts choking him out. In my mind, it's MMA style. It's full mount, headlock. He's got him choked out, right? I don't know if that's what happened. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me, and I will pay it back. But he refused. No. He went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. Watch what happens. When the other servant saw, people noticed, saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their masters everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I canceled all the debt of yours because you begged me to? Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant? Watch this. Just as I had on you. Shouldn't you have done the same thing to someone else that had been done to you? In his anger, the master handed him over to the jailers. He said, this is how your father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. This forgiveness thing is a really, really big deal. And listen, can I tell you? You and I have been forgiven much. And so we should forgive much. Let's not be this wicked servant that Jesus describes in the parable. Let's be the one that says, I know it ain't fair. I know that's terrible grammar. I know it ain't fair, but I'm going to forgive because I have been forgiven. Third reason why we don't forgive is we don't think we can do it. I don't think I can do this. It's too much for me, God. It's too heavy for me. You don't understand how difficult this situation is. You don't understand the extent of pain that was caused me. Can I tell you something? You're right. I may not. I probably don't. But I know someone who does. I know someone who was tempted in every way like we are, and yet he didn't sin. I know someone who paid the price for our sin with such a great physical strain that he followed through and he did it. And this same one promises this to us. He says this, that you can do everything through him who gives you the strength. Philippians 4. Most of us have it highlighted in our Bibles. We have it framed. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. How many of you believe you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you? Come on, how many believe that? including forgiveness. That's one of those things that you can do. Let me speed up here and help you with a couple thoughts. Forgiveness is not a feeling, guys. It's a choice. It's something you choose. Now, this choice is counterintuitive and countercultural. Meaning, two things, not much in the world around you reminds you and encourages you to behave this way, to live this way. And not much in between our ears, my ears, reminds me to do the things that Jesus instructs us to do as we are walking in forgiveness. It's counterintuitive. We want to do the opposite of what Jesus says we're supposed to do oftentimes. Watch this verse. It's a feeling. It's not a feeling, excuse me. It's a choice. And for the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. Watch this. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things, watch, and the things that are not to nullify the things that are. What's that mean? The feelings that aren't there yet are nullified by the choices we make now when we make choices in line with what God's word teaches us to do. See, the feelings that we don't have, they become reduced in their capacity when we live the principles that God teaches us. See, for most of us, it's counterintuitive. Remember I told you that. Forgiveness is an expression of weakness. But to God, forgiveness is an act of strength. It takes an extremely strong person to forgive. So what are some markers of forgiveness? What are some ways that we live out? Remember, before I give you these, remember I said they're counterintuitive. You ready for the first one? Here we go. Number one, pray for them. We really have to say that, Josh? Yeah, we really have to. Can I tell you, this is not always easy for me? And not the kind of prayers that are in the Psalms, which say things like, God, I wish you would break the teeth of the wicked. Like, not that kind of prayer. Not the prayer that says the day will come when your mother will wish you were never born. Not those kinds of prayers. Prayers like the one that Jesus instructs us in. He says, you've heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who mess with you. Pray for those who persecute you. Pray for those who don't treat you well. Pray for them. This is God's response. Did I mention yet that this is counterintuitive? Like, this isn't what you wake up and say, let's pray for that person. Let's pray for that scoundrel. Let's pray for that dirty dog. Like, that's not what you say. Like, if you're anything like me, can I be really honest? You wake up in the morning and you think about that person that you should be offering forgiveness to that hurt you. You wake up and you say, I hope today is the worst day of their life. Don't judge me, okay? I got real religious in here. Some of you act like, I would never think of such a thing. You liar, you would too. You have. You've thought it. We've all thought it. That's, it goes against what, like we're supposed to pray for them. And a real heartfelt prayer that says, God, let them see you in the fullness of your love and your grace. Let them be closer to you, right? Number two is bless them. Ah, it's getting worse. Just so you know, these aren't my ideas. I'm reading the Bible to you, all right? You got a problem with how to walk through this, you have to talk to God about it. I would do it differently. But this is what God said. Bless them. What does that mean? Luke says it this way, but I tell you who hear me, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. So he gets that first one in and he says, bless those. See, these three things that I'm going to show you, they involve our thoughts, our words, and our actions. So the prayer involves our thoughts and our words. This bless really involves, really it's more an emphasis on our words, speaking well of them. There was an individual in my mom's world that really treated her poorly. And if there was ever a reason why my mom could have spoken ill of them, as God is my witness, from the day I remember hearing and being conscious of what she was telling me until the day she died, I never heard her mutter one bad word about this individual. What was she doing? She was blessing them. She was speaking life over them. Why would we do that? Well, we would do it because really Jesus asks us to. It liberates us. And listen, honestly, why do we want them to continue to harm others? We don't want that. We really don't. If not for their sake, for the sake of those who would be on the other side of their offense. So we pray for them. We bless them. And thirdly, this is in your notes too. We're going to bless those who persecute you and bless and do not curse, more about the language in Romans 12 from Paul. But number three, we're going to do good to them. Josh, really? Now, can I tell you this one isn't easy? Can I tell you none of them are easy? But look at this Bible verse. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you. Now, some of you need to circle that and underline that phrase right there. As far as it depends on you, because there are some things that are outside of your control. But as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. And if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Now, let me explain what that means. In the Old Testament, there would be altars where there were warm coals, and they would add to the coals incense and fragrances. And when they would add those to the coals, that fragrance was a symbol of a sweet smell being offered to God. See, this isn't to shame the person. That's counterproductive to forgiveness. It doesn't, you can't forgive by dishonoring someone. But when we forgive, what happens is this, that forgiveness is an offering that extends up to the nostrils of God, and it's a sweet smelling savor that he receives into his presence. See, and he says, he finishes it by saying, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. See, human nature is, you hit me, I hit you back. Except in my world, my natural response is, if you hit me, I don't want to just hit you back. I want to hit you harder than you hit me. Because when you hurt me, my human instinct says, I want to hurt you back. And God says, that is not how you overcome evil. Evil is not a hand-to-hand combat where the strongest survives. It is an exercise in humility where the humble get exalted, where the one who offers the forgiveness is elevated, to where you are the one that receives grace and freedom and life when you say, I am no longer going to let that person be in charge of me. Watch this. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other. Remember, I asked you to look at that one verse, and it would come back. Here it is. Just as in Christ, God forgave you. Just like God forgave you, you're supposed to forgive others. Here's the last thing in your notes. The forgiven forgive. When you finish that, put those notes off to the side. And I want to make an appeal to you. forgiven, our response is to forgive. If you are dealing with unforgiveness, the writer says we're supposed to let go of all bitterness and rage and anger. Here's what I know. Unforgiveness, it leads to those things and causes those things in our hearts, inside of us. And the longer we hold on to that unforgiveness, the longer we give the person power and control in our life to dictate what's going on in our hearts. See, they wronged us and it hurt. And the longer we hold on to that, the longer they have control in our world. In other words, the longer we walk in unforgiveness, the longer that person is pulling on the strings of our heart and our life. You think you can hide it. You think you can mask it. You think you can move on. But listen, if it's really, really there and in there, I'm telling you, the Bible way to go free, to move forward, to get free from this thing, to no longer have that situation dominating your internal world. And there are scores of people today here in the physical campus, watching online in our online campus, that today needs to be the day that you decide that thing, the result of that offense, is no longer going to have control of my life. I'm going to give it up. I'm going to let it go. I'm going to let God have His way. And I'm going to make you a promise. If you will accept God's appeal through this broken vessel, if you will accept this appeal and say yes, you will leave out of here in levels of freedom and joy and peace like you have never known before. Some of you, it's a family member. Some of you, it's a parent. Some of you, it's a sibling. Maybe it's a sibling that robbed you in some kind of financial deal and they did you wrong and you've been carrying it around. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen, if that's you, you need to let that thing go today because it's controlling your life. It's eating you up. And today's the day where God's saying, let me give you a level of freedom that you've never experienced before. Maybe it's an offender who has hurt you physically, emotionally, mentally. Listen, we're not saying what they did is okay. They don't get a pass. Listen to me. When you forgive them, it lets you go. They have to answer to God on their end for them. And you have to answer to God on your end for you. That person who violated me, they have to answer for that. I have to answer for me. And I'm telling you right now, God has done too much in my life for me to hold that in and not forgive. That's between me and God. That's between me and Him. I want to finish with this story because I'm out of time. But I'm going to ask you to make a decision to forgive a person, to let go of a situation, and invite God's freedom to come into your world. I heard a story of a lady, pretty well known. If I mention her name, some of you might know her, but it isn't about the person. It's about how they responded. She tells this story that growing up, she was raped by her father over 200 times. She said it's not just over 200. I know the exact number, but it was over 200. And parents, if you have younger kids in here and I just created a mess for you, sorry, you maybe just talk with them about that. But I want to be able to say whatever I need to say freely to make this point because it's super important that we get free of these things. She said, he did that to me. Never acknowledged it. Never apologized for it. Decades had gone by and she had means and substance and she was praying. for him. He'd moved far away, and to be honest, she felt like that was a good thing for her. She was kind of happy that that happened. Moved far away. And as he was becoming older, she was praying for him, doing what Jesus said to do, just what I endeavor to teach you to do. And she said, God spoke to her. She didn't hear a voice, but she just knew inside that God asked her to bless him and do good to him in the form of buying him a new home and moving him to her city. Now, let me just tell you something. That's like next level black belt ninja forgiveness stuff right there, okay? You might not be there. You might not be there. And I'm not saying you should be there. You got to take whatever step you can take, all right? She didn't want to do that at first. But then she did it. She did it. And the man never even said thank you. Years gone by and he was getting older, even older, nearing when he would probably pass. At the end of his life, as so many times we do, he came to her and did his best to make it right. And she accepted his offer. And this is what she said. And I can't get my mind around this. Don't come up to me and ask me to explain it and justify it. I can't. I'm just telling you what she said. What she said was, through the power of forgiveness, she got to a place where she couldn't even say she wished it had been different. Was she saying that she wanted that to happen? No. I think what she was saying was, through the power of forgiveness, one of the things that happens is you let go that the past could be any different. You let go of the expectation that your past could be any different, and you own that it is what it is, and it's not necessarily through any fault of your own, but the past is what it is, and God is the God of yesterday, today, and forever. And through the power of forgiveness, he can wash us and make us white and clean all over again if we'll just offer that to him. Come on, if you want to give him some praise. So here's what I'm going to invite you to do, because I'm out of time. I ask you to jump up on your feet. Stand up on your feet if you're able. Don't leave. Just stay right where you are. I'm not done. Just give me 2 or 3 more minutes. I know I'm over time, but the nooners are always late, and the online people don't have anywhere to go. So just give me a couple more minutes, all right? I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes, every person. And I really mean that, every person. Nobody looking around, because I'm going to invite everyone in this room into a very, very personal choice. And I don't want to have someone looking around be a barrier between a person and a decision, because this is not easy for people. It's very difficult. Heads are bowed. Nobody's looking around. Eyes are closed. And I'm going to tell you up front, this is going to be a high percentage of people, so you're not going to be alone. And I'm not going to ask you to come down front. But what I'm going to ask you to do is, I'm going to ask you to lift your hand if I was appealing to you for forgiveness. I'm ready to make a step. I'm ready to forgive. If that's you right now, all over this place and online, I'm going to ask you to lift your hand and respond and say, Josh, that's me. Go ahead right now, all over. People are doing it all over. Go ahead and say, that's me. I need to forgive. I need to lose. I need to let someone go. Come on, come on. Don't delay. I'm going to make an appeal to you. That's you. If it's not you, I understand. But if it is you, don't let fear or anything else stand between you and this decision. Just throw that hand up there and leave it there, please. Come on now. Come on now. Come on now. Come on now. Father in heaven, you see every heart and you see every hand. You see every emotion. You see every pain. You see every struggle. You see every barrier. And God, right now, I ask you, by the power of your Spirit, to break the stronghold of offense and unforgiveness off of the lives of your people in Jesus' matchless name. And Lord, right now, we loose them and we let them go, and we will not carry this thing around. But God, right now, help and freedom. Help and freedom is being poured into hearts that are so desperate in need. Before we go, I don't want to move from this moment, because this is your moment with God. And I just want to tell you what I kind of sense in my heart. Two things. Number one is, there's at least one of you, maybe more, that you're mad about how a loved one left too soon. They passed away. And I'm not necessarily saying you're mad at them, but you've got anger and unforgiveness over that issue. And I want you to know something right now, that God is moving in your heart and in your life. And I know I'm emotional, but this is not an emotional thing. This is a spiritual thing. And God is doing something in your world, and it's going to be different. It's not going to be the same. And I'm not asking you to rush through a grieving process. I'm not asking you to hurry through this moment. I'm not asking you to act as though it doesn't hurt. What I'm telling you is that the God of the universe is thinking about you. He's mindful of you. And he's here for you in your time of need. For such a time just like this one. Secondly, there are individuals you're having a hard time forgiving you. And you certainly don't think God can forgive you. And I want you to know, there is nothing that can separate you from the love of God. Nothing. With heads bowed and eyes closed real quick, if you already responded, just put your hands down for me, because I want to see something right quick. You say, Josh, I don't have a relationship with Jesus, or my relationship with Jesus is not what it ought to be, but I sense his love for me and I sense his power in a very real way. And I'm going to ask you to respond to him by saying yes to him and what he has for your life. He has a plan for your life. It's a good plan, a plan for hope and future. And if you don't know that he has a plan for you, you don't know where you would spend eternity, and you want to know today, I would love to lead you in a prayer. We're all going to pray with you. Say, Josh, that's me. I need to put my faith and confidence in him. I've never done that. Or you'd say, I have done that, but I need to do that again to renew my confidence in him. If that's you all over in this place, just throw up a hand and say, Josh, that's me. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I see you. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you. Anybody else join these six? Yes, ma'am. I see you. Thank you. Good for you. Thanks, buddy. I see you clear in the back. Good for you. Yep, I see you. Good for you right here in front. Anybody else? Okay, good for you, man. Proud of you, man. Good for you. Anybody else join these 8 or 10 or so and say, that's me. God's doing something. I don't want to rush this, but I know we're out of time. Anybody else? Right quick, come on. If that's you, store it up there. I'm not going to make you get out of your seat or ask you to get out. Thanks, young man. Good for you. Good for you, buddy. Can we all pray this out loud with those who are going to pray it maybe for the first time? Everybody say this out loud with me. Say, dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your son. Thank you that he died for me. Thank you that he was raised from the dead just for me. I believe in my heart, and I say with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. I turn from my sin, and I turn to your son, and I will follow him all the days of my life. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Make some noise for what God's doing in this place.
Thank you for joining us today. We pray that you have been blessed through the teaching of God's word. This resource is generously supported by More Life Church and listeners like you. we would like to give you the opportunity to partner with us to impact the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. To give or to learn more about More Life Church, visit our website at morelifechurch.com.